We worship God today as we turn to the Psalm 103 in our hymn books. 103, found on page 94. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is. He stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. Singing together the opening 8 verses of Psalm 103. Psalm 84 is our psalm for today. Let us hear the word of God as we read together this psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Shall we bow together before the Lord here in his house as we come to worship him? Let us all pray. Almighty God and gracious Father, we approach the throne of grace today through the Lord Jesus Christ, thy dear Son. In the words of the psalm, we would pray that thou wilt look upon the face of thine anointed. We thank thee that Jesus Christ is the anointed one of God. We thank thee that when God looks upon him, we are accepted. We praise thee that we are accepted in the Beloved. Look upon him, therefore, today, and grant us, Lord, the desires of our hearts as we come to this time of worship, that we might meet with God, that we might fellowship with the Lord himself, that we might enter in upon fellowship together as the Lord's people, knit our hearts together as we worship thee. We pray that thou wilt cleanse us from all our sin. We confess, Lord, our many shortcomings. We come short of the glory of God every day. But thou art faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we seek thee at the fountain of blood, that thou wilt forgive us, that thou wilt pardon us, that thou wilt have mercy upon us now and bring us into a place whereby we can worship God aright, coming to thee with clean hands and pure hearts, worshiping God in the beauty of holiness. We ask thee for the fresh infilling of the Spirit of God, that we might pray in the Spirit, that we might sing in the Spirit, that we might worship in the Spirit, that we might preach in the Spirit today, that this time will be beneficial to every single person in this church building, that we will meet with the God of heaven and hear from him. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way in every heart this day. There are those seeking your will, reveal it to them. There are those who are downcast. We pray that thou wilt pick them up and strengthen them. There are those, Lord, that are led aside through weakness. May they know the touch of the Master's hand. There are those that are lonely. We pray that Jesus himself will draw near. There are those who are discouraged. We pray that thou wilt be their consolation, that thou wilt encourage them this day in the Lord. There are those, Lord, today, and they've come with different needs, and we've come, all of us, from different backgrounds. But, Lord, you know all about us. You know all about our homes, all about our families, all about our needs. We just leave ourselves before the Lord today. Minister to us. Speak to us. Draw graciously near. Be one of our number. We thank thee for answered prayer. We think of those that we have prayed for in the past week, and thy Lord has stepped into the situation, and thou hast answered mightily. Thank thee for your hand upon little Ben. And Lord, the change that took place from Thursday to Friday, enabling him to get home. Thank you for your continued hand upon little Daniel and the fact that he was out at the Lord's house last Sabbath day. We thank you, Lord, for keeping your people that are suffering, and we pray that they will continue to prove your grace every day. Remember our brother Bill Woods as he has started the treatment for his cancer. May your hand be upon him this day for good, that he will be strengthened physically and encouraged in the Lord. Remember our missionary endeavor in the various parts of the world. We thank thee for David and Rachel these months in Kenya. And as they complete their final month, do be with them and bless their ministry and use them for your glory. Remember our sister Noreen with us as she continues with deputation work, representing the work in Uganda. Thank thee for the opening of the orphanage in Nepal. Make it a place of blessing. where children will find the Lord, not only be brought into a safe place and be protected in so many ways, but be brought into a saving place where they will come to know Christ as their Savior. We pray for the work throughout the world that Thou hast called us to and given us a little part in. We think of Armin as he continues to process the move to Greenville. Be with him in this. Remember Dr. Cairns as he travels to the States tomorrow. May he be an encouragement to the Allison family. May our brother Mark know your strengthening hand upon him. O Lord, we just commit ourselves into your care now. Bless us in this congregation today. Bless our young people. We thank thee for them. And as they will minister in song next weekend in various places, including our own church, make them a real blessing to the congregation. Remember family night tonight, and Ian, as he gives his testimony, bring the people in that have been invited. And Lord, may souls be drawn to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. 535. Let's join together in the singing of this hymn. Rejoice in the Lord, O let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall. Redeemed by his blood, why should we ever fear, since Jesus is our all in all. 535. On that great note of victory, let me welcome you to the house of God in the Saviour's name, those that are listening in also on sermon audio. Let me welcome very especially my parents-in-law, Clark and Joan Gibson, sitting down here beside my wife. They've moved to Ballymoney. It was quite a move on Friday and Saturday. They've gone for a little holiday this weekend up to Portrush, just until a few final adjustments were made to their new home. But we welcome them back to Ballymoney, and we trust that they will be blessed and will settle in with us here at Hebron. The young people are singing next weekend. They will be singing on Saturday night down at the Missionary Council weekend. They will be singing on the Lord's Day, and they need a practice. And as soon as this service is over, the youth are to go to the Carson Complex for that practice. Family night is tonight. Our brother Ian is all excited about it because he's giving his testimony. He'll be speaking of how the Lord saved him. He has invited many in. We will be in prayer through this day that even those given the invitations will come, and that others come that you've invited, and may we have a good night in the house of God as we have our family night. And I'll bring a short message at the end of the service also. We come to pray at 6:30. If we want the blessing of God, we need to pray. And the old saying is, where there is much prayer, there's much blessing. Where there's little prayer, there's little blessing. And that is right, and that is biblical. And so we need to pray together. We encourage you to the times of prayer. The Let the Bible Speak envelopes of the Missionary Covenant support is due today, and refreshments will be served after tonight's meeting. Tomorrow morning, the Parents and Toddlers Group meets at 10. The Christian Workers Training Academy at 8. Some of our elders are involved in that, but tomorrow night is usually our session meeting. And so we're going to ask if the elders could come in just a little bit earlier, just to be together, one or two things we need to discuss. 7 o'clock, if that's possible. Tuesday morning is the Senior Fellowship at 11. If you fit into that category or near it, we would be delighted to see you. The Youth Challenge Children's Meetings, Tuesday night at 7. Thursday night is the midweek service for prayer and Bible study and fellowship. You're invited to that. And then on Friday, our Christian school is having their open day. This is an annual event, 12 o'clock until 3, and then 5 until 8 p.m. And there will be a leaflet drop. That leaflet drop will take place tomorrow night. And if you can come and help those that normally do this, be at the church at 7 o'clock. Your help would be very much appreciated. There'll also be at the event a cake sale, so remember that as you go on Friday. Youth Fellowship then, 8 o'clock on Friday night. The Missionary Council weekend begins on Friday evening at the Macaraboy. As I've said, on Saturday night, the youth will be taking part. The meeting is at 7:30. Just want to give you the time of that, for it's not there. It's the conference meeting of the weekend. Our moderator, the Reverend Gordon Dane, will be speaking. Our youth choir will be singing, and others will be taking part. There'll be some reports to do with missionary work. If you're able to come and you want to come on Saturday morning, there's a question and answer time from 10 o'clock onwards, probably for the hour, just a little bit more than the hour. Then on the Lord's Day, our prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock, Sabbath school 10:45, Bible class 11, our worship service 12 noon, and our choir will be singing, our young people singing on Sunday morning. Reverend Gordon Dane, who will be with us at the weekend, will be bringing the Missionary Challenge, and our Missionary Council weekend personnel, attendees, whatever you call them, will be attending our worship service. In the evening time at 7 o'clock, I think this is a first for ourselves, certainly in my time, we're having a remembrance service and wreath-laying ceremony. Various ones will be here to participate and to lay wreaths on behalf of the armed services, and I'll be bringing a suitable word on Remembrance Sunday. So we ask much prayer for this, that the Lord will make it successful in a good way, that His blessing will be upon it. Invite others to come and maybe have a good time in the house of God next Lord's Day. The time of prayer, 6:30, building fund envelopes, June next week. Supper will be served after the remembrance service, and the ladies are to bring, please, half a loaf of sandwiches and one dozen buns. Vision magazine is available. Please get your copy as you leave. These are free to every family. The Let the Bible Speak broadcasts commence this week. Keep it in mind as the word of the Lord is preached. Some of you were involved in those recordings, and we thank you for that. I think there was a little leaflet giving the time, so that'll let you know when the meetings are going out on the airways. The senior citizens are having their outing on the 24th of November. There is a sheet at the door for any of our seniors who want to go. Put your name on it. I think it's an individual sheet. Then you tick what you want to eat. There's a menu there. We will be visiting the World War I exhibition at the Martyrs Memorial, and then a shopping time at the Abbey Centre, and then finishing off at Millside for your evening meal on the way back. If you're a senior, you're very welcome to come. Announcement in regard to the Sunday school: we do need relief minibus drivers and female conductors. We have more children coming to the Sunday school now, and we have an additional bus going around. Drivers will need to have the D1 group on their license, and if you can help as a driver or as one who will travel with the driver to collect the children, put your name on the sheet in the church porch as you leave. Education Board graduation service is on the 30th of November. We also express thanks to those who helped with the shoe appeal for the poor children in Muldamanoa. When we gave out the clothes, we discovered that many didn't have shoes or suitable shoes, and we just sent a little word home. When the Roma family spoke to us, they said they would need about 20 pairs. We thought, well, you would need to get at least 50, and over 200 pairs have come in. I want to thank you for those who have contributed and given the finance to send it out as well. We've been rejoicing in the fact that the Lord's hand was upon little Ben, and he got out of hospital on Friday and is doing well. Please continue to pray for him. He was very unwell on Thursday, as you will know from the prayer meeting. Baby Daniel, we already prayed about this, was out of church last Lord's Day, so that's a milestone for them. We thank God for progress there. We ask you to remember Jane, Christy in prayer, Kate McFarland. Dr. Bill Woods has started his chemotherapy for his cancer. Remember him. Mrs. Karen Murray, the Reverend Samuel Murray's wife, has been diagnosed with cancer. It's in the early stages. She will have to have surgery this month, and then radiotherapy thereafter. Please pray for her and her family. Dr. Kearns travels to the United States tomorrow to visit Dr. Mark Allison and to be an encouragement to the family there. Remember him as he travels. He's down in Belfast this weekend and spending some time with his sister before he departs for the States. Our sister Pat has written a little card to the Minister, Session, Committee and Congregation. My sincere thanks and appreciation to you all for your welcome back to my home congregation. Many of you have been helping us in a very practical way. For this, I thank you. May the Lord, who seeth it in secret, reward you openly. Thank you for your generosity and prayers. Yours in Christ Jesus, Pat. We also received gifts. We did receive a gift of £46 for the work in Uganda. There was a lady who sent a gift of £200 for Douglas's home from up the country, and we received some gifts towards the shoe appeal that will either buy shoes or help to send them out, and we want to acknowledge that and thank you in the Lord's great name. Now we sing together 543. It's our offering hymn. 543. Sound the battle cry. See the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. We'll keep our seats as the offering is received. 543. Turning to Judges chapter 12. Judges 12. The last judge that we looked at was Ibzan. And we have record in the last 8 verses of this chapter of 3 judges that God raised up. Ibzan, Elon and Abdon. And we're going to read just 2 verses as we come to the next judge, verses 11 and 12. And after him, that's after Ibzan that we looked at last time, Elon, a Zebulunite, judged Israel. And he judged Israel 10 years. And Elon, the Zebulunite, died and was buried in Ajalon in the country of Zebulun. Ending the reading there. Heavenly Father, bless your word. These verses that we've just read about this judge Elon, bless it as we expound it, think about it, seek to make application to our hearts, learn a little about this man and see what we can apply to our own lives in the modern day. Grant us the Holy Spirit to guide us through the word. Fill me now with your grace and power and wisdom. Help me, Lord, in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God to bring the word today. And may our hearts be truly blessed and challenged as a result, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Elon is the strong judge of peace. And it's these 2 verses that we're going to look at. He's another one of the little unknown judges. We've been thinking about that during our study in the book of Judges, that there were little men that whose names are not really known and whose exploits are not really recorded for us. But there are these little men that God introduces us to that were raised by him in a past day. And there are lessons to learn. There are things to apply to our hearts. 3 men bear this name in Scripture. There was a Hittite whose daughter Esau married, that we read about back in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 34, who had this name. And then there was a son of Zebulun and founder of a tribal family that we read about towards the end of Genesis 46 and verse 14. The third man that has this name is the one that we have mentioned here in Judges chapter 12. Now please remember that these judges are representatives. Though they lived all those centuries ago in the heart of the Old Testament scriptures, they are representatives of men today, you and I. Maybe representing a pastor in his public ministry or his pastoral work, or an elder as he seeks to oversee the work of God, a deacon in the church that performs his functions as a committee man, Sunday school teacher, children's worker, youth worker, every Christian. There are lessons for us to learn because these men represent us in some way. So there's a word for us all today. There's a word for you. You set up, you listen to the word of God, you'll not be disappointed. God will speak to you. So may he give us hearing ears today. Very little information is given concerning this man, Elon. But there are a few thoughts that we don't want to overlook. 3 of them, in fact. First of all, you'll notice his title. The name that was given to him. His name is Elon. Now we have sought to point out that Bible names have a meaning. And there is a wonderful teaching, an application when it comes to the names given to individuals in the Word of God. Children are given their names at birth. Or if you were a Jew and a Jewish boy, it would be on the 8th day when you were presented publicly and you were circumcised, your name would then be publicly made known. Up until then, it was traditional to keep that name a secret. But on the 8th day after birth, the boy child would be named. If you were a girl, it would be at the first public reading of the Torah, the law of God. Then your name would be publicly given. As a father and mother decided what to call their offspring, tremendous thought and consideration was given what that child's name should be. Now, names today are given because parents like the sound of the name. And that's the only reason. It's maybe unusual, or it has a nice sound to it, and so they call their child that name. Sometimes they are given a name because it is an unusual name. Nobody else has it. It's not like, you know, David or John. These common names, good names, but very common names. It's very unusual. And so the parent wants the child to have a name that nobody else has. At other times, some family member has that name, and so it's passed on by tradition. I could not have been called anything else. My grandfather was David Park. My father was David Park. And so when it came to the birth of a boy in my family, and I was the fifth child, there were four girls, and then there's another girl after me, but whenever it came to my birth, I had to be called David, David the third. And so when our firstborn child was born, there was no question what he would be called. You see, it was kind of traditional to hand the name down. And then sometimes names are given because they are Bible names, and this is particularly so with Christian homes. Christians will make a decision. We want our children to have names that are recorded in the Scriptures. And very often when you have a number of children in a family and they have names that are associated with the Word of God, it identifies them with the Bible. It identifies them as being God's people, because all the names come from the Scriptures. And then, of course, sometimes children, when they grow up, they never forgive their parents for the name that they were given, especially if it's a strange name. But they have to bear it for the rest of their life. Sometimes in worldly circles, a name might be given after a pop star, a sports star, or a famous personality. But you see, the Israelite was more careful and considerate in his or her choice of names. And parents thought about it very, very carefully. This is where the subject of etymology comes in, the meaning of the name. And as parents would name their boy or their girl, they would give much consideration to what that child would be called, so that they would know and people around them would know what their thoughts were concerning their infant as they grew up in this world. For example, often God's name was incorporated in the name, given to remember or remind the family that that child, as he grew up, they had an aspiration that he would know about the Lord, he would come to know the Lord. Joshua, for example, means Jehovah is salvation. And so the name of God, the name Jehovah, is there in that name. Isaiah means salvation of Jehovah. Jeremiah, exalted of God. Elijah, my God is Jehovah. So the name of God was in the name that was given. And as they grew up, they would be reminded about the God of Israel. Sometimes the name represented some sort of the present situation that they find themselves in. Ishmael. It means God hears. And you remember when Sarah, not able to have children herself, suggested to Abraham that her handmaid Hagar would go into him and would conceive by him. And when that happened, she was jealous, and there was a bitter spirit in her, and she treated Hagar so harshly that Hagar fled away. We find her sitting by the well of Beer Lahairoi. And it was there she met with the Lord. It was there that God instructed her to return to her home and be in subjection there in that home. And it was there that she cried unto the Lord. And so when Ishmael was born, it seems that there's some kind of meaning there concerning the situation that she found herself in. And Abraham called his name Ishmael. Isaac means laughter. When Sarah passed the age of childbearing, was able miraculously to conceive and bear a child, Scripture reminds us that she laughed. It was not the laugh of unbelief that she had when she heard the news that she was going to conceive, but it was now the laughter of joy that God had given to her a son, and so Isaac's name was called Laughter. Moses means drawn forth. And so he was drawn forth out of the bulrushes. Jabez was so named. His name means sorrowful. And whether that was to do with the sorrow of childbearing, which is usually forgotten by a mother when a child comes into the world for the joy of receiving the child, but maybe in his mother's case it wasn't, and therefore it was a reminder to her of the terrible sorrow that she had bringing this little infant into the world. Or maybe it reminded her, and as he grew up, him, of the sorrowful world into which he was born. But that's what his name means. Jabez means sorrowful. Then sometimes the name had a kind of prophetic connotation. Abraham. Abraham had a name change. God inserted another letter of the Hebrew alphabet into his name, and so his name became known as Father of a Multitude. That's what Abraham means. And so there was this prophetic outlook that in the due course of time, Abraham would be the father of a multitude, and he was, of the Jewish nation, of the Hebrew people, and in a spiritual sense, a greater people, all of God's people saved by God's grace. Jacob means supplanter, and he grew up to be just that, and he supplanted his brother Esau, took away his birthright. Solomon means peaceful. And during the reign of Solomon, we find that it was peaceful in the kingdom. It was the golden era as far as the kings were concerned that ruled over Israel. Job, the patriarch, his name means he cries. We think of all the trials and the troubles that came upon Job. And certainly there was this prophetic outlook, a man that cried in the midst of all his sorrows. And then there were times when the name was given, perhaps with parental hopes of the future, a desire that the child would grow up to live up to his name. Enoch means dedicated. Wouldn't it have been the aspiration of parents who gave him that name that their child would grow up dedicated to the Lord and to the ways of God? Barnabas means son of consolation, and he certainly lived up to his name. He was the man that could put his arm around another and encourage him in the Lord. He was a son of consolation. Andrew means manly, and his parents no doubt wanted him to be a manly young man, a man that was strong of character. Timothy means honoring God. Didn't his parents want Timothy to live that way? Certainly his mother and his grandmother, in whose lives the faith of God dwelt, Timothy would grow up honoring God. Now, we've looked at some of the judges' names. We've thought about them. We have thought about Othniel, Lion of God. We saw the application there. We think of Tola. His name means worm. It's all we are. It speaks about the humility of the man and how you and I ought to live as Christians, a humble life. We're just worms on this earth. We thought of Jair, the light giver, as his name means, giving light out there to the world, and you and I are the light of the world to shine the light of Christ in this dark place in which we live. We thought of Ibzan. His name means active, and we ought to be active in the service of Christ. Well, Elon means strength. Isn't there the thought here of what his parents had in mind? Wanted their child to grow up strong. Not just strong in a healthy, physical, bodily sense, and I'm sure that was their aspiration, but to grow up strong in the Lord and the power of his might. There is no doubt that he needed strength for the work that he was called to. The days of the judges were not easy days in God's work. We know how unstable, changeable, the character of Israel was in that period. That was the time of the new generation. A generation that came about which knew not the Lord. It was that time of continual backsliding when evil was done before the Lord and the God of their fathers was constantly forsaken. It was the time when Israel followed other gods. It was a time of chastenings and oppressions, which were the disciplines of God. And yet it was a time of mercy, because God raised up these men, these judges, to lead them, direct them. This was the era of the yo-yo experience, up and down, and you read the book and that is so. If there was one quality that Elon needed, one attribute that was going to carry him through in the work that God had called him to, it was strength. And so he was well named. And this is what our desire is for our children today, isn't it? I speak as a father. I speak as a grandfather. I'm sure I speak on behalf of all fathers and mothers and grandparents, children's workers in this house of God today. We want our children to grow up strong, not just physically and healthy, but strong in Christ. It's not easy to be a Christian in this world, humanly speaking. Sin is abounding. Worldliness is increasing. Temptation is strong. Deceptions are widespread. Persecutions are real. And we are surrounded by an ungodly world, a God-dishonoring society, a sinful environment. And the one thing that we need, and the one thing that our children needs, is strength. And we must pray for our young people, not criticize them. Oh, there's many things that we could criticize them about. But I also remind myself there's many things that I could criticize myself about. There are many faults in us all. God has not called us to be critics of the young people of today, but he has called us to pray for them, to encourage them, to help them. If they need criticized, if they need corrected, there's the place and the time to do that. But we must pray for them in this ungodly world. Lord, help our children to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It is said of John the Baptist that the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. Isn't that our aspiration for our children? Don't we want them growing up that way? To be strong in spirit? To grow up standing for the Lord? Every Christian worker needs the meaning of Elon's name stamped upon them in the work of God. We're living in the fainting age. We're living in that age when the love of many has waxed cold. The Lord said that would happen before he came back again. We're living in that age of sleepiness. It's true. That's how the Church of Jesus Christ is today, by and large. Remember the 10 virgins that Jesus spoke about? The parable that has particular application to this day in which we live, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, before the bridegroom comes. 5 wise, 5 foolish. 5 wise representing the true, believing people of God, clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ, ready for heaven, the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, symbolized by the oil that was there that they had received. The 5 foolish representing the professing Christian who truly does not know the Lord. But you look at it, and the one thing that was common to the wise and the foolish was this: they all slept. They slept and they slumbered, says Jesus. And he says, that's what the church is going to be like whenever I come back again. This is the age in which we are living. Sleepiness. It's the age of departure and apostasy, when men shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, as 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4 reminds us. You mark well what Paul says about the end time. And he speaks about it as he wrote to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And those opening verses, this is what he said. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 19 marks, if you were to count them, I think it is. This is the spirit of the age in which we're living, prior to the coming of Christ. Now, what do you need in that kind of day? You need strength. You need strength. Three times over, God instructed Joshua to be strong and of a good courage. Be thou strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And you think of the work that Joshua was called to. It wasn't an easy work. After 40 years, Moses being the leader, bringing them through all the experiences of the wilderness, and now they come to the borders of the promised land. Moses dies up there in the mount with God. He's buried by God. And now Joshua is his successor. He is to lead them across Jordan. He is to bring them into the promised land. See to it that they get their inheritance. Fight all the battles that were to be fought among the Canaanites and the other peoples of that land. It wasn't going to be an easy task, and therefore Joshua needed to be strong. David said to Solomon, "Be strong and of a good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." It was a mammoth task that stood before Solomon as a young man coming to the throne to succeed his father David upon that throne. He needed to be strong, and so before David passed from this state of time, he told Solomon, "You be strong." Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Paul, writing to young Timothy, he said, "My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." The Galatians were told, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free." We have no strength of our own, brethren and sisters. We need a strength that comes from above. David, speaking of the enemy that hated him, he said, "They were too strong for me." And the enemies that hate us, they're too strong for us. Jesus spoke about the strong man. He spoke about the strong man's house, referring to the power of the devil. Now, we have a great enemy, and that is the devil. Of ourselves, we're no match for him. We have no power to contend with him. We have no strength to gain the victory over him. We therefore need strength from above. The psalmist prayed, "Be thou my strong rock." And that's a good prayer to make, isn't it? God has given us power to overcome the wicked one and his devices. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Or sometimes we add the words, the strongholds of Satan, for so they are. And so, beloved, I say to you today, be strong. Get Elon's name into your life, into your character. When you're tempted, be strong. When you're discouraged, be strong. When you're weak, be strong. When you faint, be strong. When you're weary in well-doing, be strong. When you're faced with opposition, be strong. When you're assailed by the enemy, be strong. When you are contending for the faith, be strong. When you are afraid of man, be strong. When you're fighting the good fight of faith, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That's what we need in God's work here. Strong men and women standing for God, possessing the land for God, engaging ourselves in the work of God today. His title, we learn something from it. Then we also note his tribe. In our reading, we discover that he was a Zebulunite. Zebulun, you'll remember, was the name given by Leah to her sixth son. Now, it seems that Jacob had forgotten Leah. He had associated more with Rachel. It really is a sad story when you read it. Leah had made a bargain with Rachel to have her husband back for a time. And two more sons were born as a consequence, Issachar and Zebulun. When Zebulun was born, Leah said these words, "Now will my husband dwell with me." And so the word Zebulun means dwelling. Jacob would now be pleased to dwell with Leah all the more, now that she had given to him 6 sons. At least in love for his children, he would visit with her all the more. In this, Zebulun was the basis of reconciliation. He was the means of bringing Jacob and Leah back together again. And here's another worthy characteristic to possess. A woman who is a reconciler. Is there a man like this here today? I could take you to Christians who know very little about this quality. Even some that occupy offices in the church. When Paul was taking leave of the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20, gives us the history, he called the elders of the church together and he counseled them to take care of the church. And so over there, let's turn to it for a moment, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And then he says in verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And some Christians are like that. They're like the grievous wolves that enter in. They rend the flock rather than mend the flock. I want to tell you this. I want to warn you about it. I want to counsel you about it. A Christian who is in the business of rending is doing Satan's work. We are to be reconcilers. We're to mend the flock of God. The Word of God is clear about our responsibilities as God's people. We're to be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, Ephesians 4 and 32. We are to put on as the elect of God, all those that are elected from the foundation of the world and chosen in Christ, we are to put on what? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Colossians 3, verse 12. And Paul says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And all this and much more points to a ministry of reconciliation. We are to make it our business as the true servants of God to reconcile and to restore our brethren and sisters. First of all, to the Lord. If they've erred, what's happening, and it's very sad among some of God's people, is when a Christian errs, they talk about them, they gossip about them, they kick them down further. That's against the teachings of the Bible. It's against the Spirit of Christ. We are to reconcile them to the Lord. That is what we ought to do by our prayers, by our example, by the words that we say. We are to get them back to the Lord. And then we are to reconcile them, the one to the other, where Christians are apart. I could take you to some of the sweetest Christians who shine in this quality. Elders who are men of peace. They can just quell a situation so quickly. Can put their hand upon the shoulders of two arguing brethren or sisters and bring them together. It's a great quality to have. And I think we learned it here. as we think of this man Elon. And then there are some other facts that are worth mentioning about the Zebulunites. And I'll do this quickly before I hasten to my final point, which will be quick also. Their fruitfulness. From the three sons of Zebulun sprang the great families into which the tribe was divided. We read about that in Numbers 26, verses 26 and 27. And certainly, as you think of this man, as you think of this tribe that he belonged to, we want to be fruitful as God's people in the things of God. And we think of their future. Deuteronomy tells us about their future, and I'll not read the text, but it's Deuteronomy 33, verses 18 and 19. Moses, before his departure, associating the last two sons of Leah together, he spoke here about their future history, and as you read the verses, you will see it's one of blessing. And so can ours be. Our future can be blessed. We notice their fighting. The Zebulunites constituted an important part of Barak's army in the fight with Sisera, back in Judges chapter 4 and verse 6 to 10. And then in Gideon's army in the war with Midian, chapter 6 and verse 35. We are to fight the good fight of faith, the soldiers of Christ. And we also notice their faithfulness. 50,000 warriors of the tribe with skillful and faithful commanders went with the other tribes to Hebron to make David king. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 33. And you ought to read verse 38 as well. And it speaks about our faithfulness to crown Christ as our king, to put him there in the place where he ought to be. We learn these things, brethren and sisters. The third point and final point is his time. 10 years, verse 11 speaks about. And again, this is a relatively short period in comparison to other judges. We thought about Othniel, 40 years. He ruled over Israel. Tola, 23 years. Jair, 22 years. But God used this man in the last 10 years of his life in a place of honor and blessing. The number 10 is one of the perfect numbers. We normally associate 7 as being the number of perfection, and so it is. But there are actually 4 numbers of perfection. 3 is the number of divine perfection. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the perfect Godhead. 7 is the number of spiritual perfection. 10 is the number of ordinal perfection. And 12 is the number of governmental perfection. And so there is a perfection, there is a completeness connected to the number 10. The 10 commandments contain all that is necessary, and no more is necessary as far as the law of God is concerned. It's a summary. The Lord's Prayer is completed in 10 clauses. The 10 plagues represented the complete circle of God's judgment upon Egypt. Fire came down from heaven 10 times, 6 of them in judgment. 10 times the people shouted for joy in the Old Testament. And there are 10 I Ams of Jesus Christ in John's Gospel. 10 completes a perfect cycle of repeated names in Scripture. Abraham, Abraham, Jacob, Jacob, Moses, Moses, Samuel, Samuel, Miriam, Miriam, or Martha, Martha rather, Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul, Lord, Lord, Eli, Eli, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And so the 10 years of Elon's rule may indicate a perfect and complete time. It was a good time, you see, in the nation. There was blessing in the kingdom. There was peace and reconciliation. He never fought any battles that we know of, certainly not recorded. May God be pleased to give us 10 years of blessing and more. 10 years when God's people will be strong in the Lord. 10 years when we will know the bond of peace and true reconciliation between brethren. Nothing dividing, nothing pulling us apart, nothing disturbing the harmony. 10 years of being fruitful and faithful to the Lord. I thought of another 10 years mentioned in the Bible. And with this reference, I will close. In 2 Chronicles 14, Abijah, we're told in verse 1, slept with his fathers. They buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. These were years of peace. God blessed the work, and the work went forward. Great building time in God's work in these 10 years of Asa's reign. It tells us in verse 7 that the king says to Judah, let us build these cities. Let us make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. May it be so here in God's work. I'm looking forward 10 years as a start. I have to speak for the work. But 10 years I'll be retired if God gives us those 10 years. And we don't know that either. But we do pray for such times of blessing to come. And so as you think of this time, this 10-year period, this time of perfection and completeness, it was a time of blessing in the nation. And we trust that God will give it to us in his work here on earth in the midst of all the conflicts and trials that are out there. May God bless his church here at Hebron for his name's sake. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the lessons that we learned from Elon, from his name, from the tribe that he came from, and from this period of time that the Lord gave to him. We pray that these things will be found here among God's people, among the elders of the church and the committee of the church and the membership here. We pray that you'll visit us with the breath of God in our day, and may the work go forward. And may Jesus Christ, who is our King, be exalted far above all. We ask in his name. Amen. And so we conclude with the hymn 640. O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit the church, thy church, to meet this hour. We're going to stand and sing the first two verses and the final one, 1, 2, and 5, as we close our meeting today. Such a breath we pray for today, the breath of God, blessed Spirit of God coming down, moving, creating soul thirst in our hearts after God, changing our lives, motivating the church, helping us to stand in an evil day, assisting us to go out into the world and preach the gospel. Let your word live in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to draw the lessons from Elon and apply them to our own lives, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.